The FAA says runway incursions are up. AOPA's Phil Boyer says poor FAA leadership is to blame. And NATCA says the problem is, surprise, controller fatigue. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, February 14th, 2008. Baseball, Roger Clemens, and steroids were the focus of the mainstream media on Capitol Hill yesterday, but aviation interests had another story to follow. A growing tide of runway incursions at the busiest U.S. airports was a hot topic for the House Subcommittee on Aviation. In written testimony, Hank Krakowski, chief operating officer of the FAA's Air Traffic Organization, told lawmakers, quote, "I am pleased to report that 2007 was the safest year yet for aviation in our nation's history. But while we have made improvements with the most serious of the runway incursions, overall runway incursions increased in fiscal year 2007 to 370, up from 330 in fiscal 2006. While most of these incursions pose little or no risk to the public, the increase in incursions and the fact that serious incursions are still occurring prompted the administrator to issue a call to action on runway safety," unquote. Krakowski went on to brief committee members on Airport Surface Detection Equipment Model X, the agency's runway safety action team, improvements to runway safety areas, and cooperation with air traffic controllers on revisions to procedures for taxi clearances. Quote, "The FAA continues to seek ways to improve awareness, training, and technologies, and we look forward to our collaboration with airlines, airports, air traffic control, and pilot unions, and aerospace manufacturers to curb runway incursions," unquote. The FAA's rosy assessment of its own focus on runway safety wasn't shared by others testifying before the committee. Phil Boyer, president of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, disputed FAA figures attributing 72% of all runway incursions from fiscal 2003 through 2006 to general aviation aircraft. AOPA's number is 44% involving GA planes, and 92% of those cases classified as less severe, Category C and D incursions. Boyer didn't mince words regarding the FAA's performance in this area. Quote, "The November 2007 Government Accountability Office Aviation Runway and Ramp Safety Report states, FAA's Office of Runway Safety has not carried out its leadership role. As the GAO report noted, the FAA's Office of Runway Safety has not updated the National Runway Safety Plan since 2002, despite policy that it be upgraded every 2 to 3 years. During this time, the office was without a permanent director for 2 years, and its staff was reduced by almost half. With the FAA forecasting an increase in the number of operations over the next decade, the AOPA Air Safety Foundation believes the FAA needs to once again make runway safety a national priority. Long-term, sustainable improvements in runway safety require constant, consistent, and continual FAA leadership," unquote. Greg Principato, president of Airports Council International North America, blamed congressional stalling on FAA reauthorization and airport funding for holding back progress on reducing incursions. Quote, "Following ACINA's participation in the call to action meeting with the Federal Aviation Administration last August, 72 of the 75 targeted large and medium airports have completed upgrades for improved centerline painting and markings on their taxiways, and the four others are voluntarily accelerating the June 30, 2008 deadline set by the FAA. As you may know, many smaller airports work with private contractors for painting, and given the fact that no airport improvement program grants are being approved or distributed, some airports are unable to contract for these services at this time," unquote. Patrick Forey, president of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, started off his remarks to the committee with a familiar argument that there are fewer controllers watching planes to prevent incidents due to a hostile work environment created by the FAA. He said NATCA is not alone in deeming this a factor. Quote, "In November, the GAO issued a report that warned of a high risk of a catastrophic runway collision occurring in the United States. In December, the Transportation Department's Inspector General launched an investigation on the role that workplace conditions played in several close calls at FAA facilities in Illinois. And the NTSB recently added runway incursions and incidents caused by air traffic controller fatigue to their 2008 list of most wanted aviation safety improvements. Because runway incursions often occur when the layout of taxiways force aircraft across a runway en route to a second runway or gate, NATCA recommends that end-around taxiways be constructed and utilized at all airports where such construction is possible, unquote. Foray closed by telling the committee that NATCA stands ready to help. Up next on ANN, NTSB says a businesswoman was confused just before her citation went down. Delta officially confirms merger talks are underway. And a Pennsylvania lawyer's estate is being sued over a plane crash. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 14th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The National Transportation Safety Board is out with its preliminary report on the February 1st crash of a Cessna Citation near Augusta, Maine. The accident claimed the lives of businesswoman Jeanette Simons and her 10-year-old son, Valen Simons. Jeanette Simons was the founder and CEO of Industrious Kid and co-founder of social networking website Imbi.com. Maine's Kennebec Journal newspaper quotes NTSB investigators who say Simons appeared to be confused about her surroundings from the time she started taxiing for takeoff from Augusta State Airport until her final radio call to controllers just before the crash, about 5:45 p.m. Eastern Time. Investigators say Simons was given a standard briefing on weather conditions at 5 p.m. Reported weather at the time was light snow turning to freezing rain, which witnesses said was starting to accumulate on parked cars. Simons filed an IFR flight plan to Lincoln, Nebraska. FAA records confirm she was an instrument-rated pilot. Witnesses told investigators they then saw the jet run through a ditch, its left main tire becoming stuck in ice. The engines were heard operating at a high rate of power. Shortly afterward, Simons taxied through ice and off the asphalt yet again, then radioed her intention to depart from an incorrect runway. NTSB reported an employee of Maine Instrument Flight turned on the pilot-controlled taxi and runway lights when Simons failed to do so herself, but it's not clear whether the intent was to help direct her to the proper runway. After takeoff at 3,000 feet, Simons radioed departure control at Portland International Jetport to report an attitude indicator failure. NTSB reported she also said she didn't know which way she was turning. 4 minutes after takeoff, the plane crashed and burned in a wooded area of West Gardner. Release of the NTSB's full report on probable cause is expected in about a year. We're finally starting to get official confirmation of merger talks underway between Delta and Northwest Airlines. In an official statement Wednesday, a spokesman for Delta told Reuters that Delta CEO Richard Anderson has agreed to waive millions of dollars in payments which would be due him under terms of his contract if a merger took place. Quote, the Personnel and Compensation Committee of Delta's Board of Directors has accepted his offer, unquote. The announcement is not specific, but suggests that Anderson might be displaced in the merger. He was brought on as Delta's chief executive on September 1st last year, moving over from United Health Group, Incorporated. Anderson had previously been Northwest's CEO. As for a timetable, it's looking less likely now that we'll hear an official merger announcement this week, as some analysts had predicted a few days ago. Reuters reported learning on Tuesday that discussions with the Airline Pilots Association to resolve issues involved in combining pilot workforces were proceeding slowly. The news service quoted insiders as saying a merger announcement is now expected within weeks. The NTSB investigated the crash of a Socata TBM-700 in a bad weather approach to the New Bedford Regional Airport in Massachusetts a year ago and concluded the cause was pilot error. But the board never did reach a conclusion on who was serving as pilot in command. Well, now the parents of the certified flight instructor sitting in the right seat at the time of the crash are suing the estate of the prominent Allentown, Pennsylvania attorney and pilot who was sitting in the left seat, contending it was the attorney who was seated in front of the primary flight display and revealed in recordings to have been the one communicating with controllers. The Allentown Morning Call reports that the lawyer, Peter Caroli, was flying his wife, dentist Lauren Angstad, to Massachusetts to visit a doctor regarding a vocal cord problem. The CFI, identified as Michael Milet, worked for Caroli. In their suit, Milet's parents contend that Caroli was at the controls when the single-engine turboprop entered a 4,000-foot-per-minute climb just before the crash. The paper says they're seeking a jury trial and unspecified damages. There's evidence NATCA is gaining political traction in its frequent public allegations that the FAA is understaffing air traffic control facilities. The union was influential recently in blocking U.S. Senate confirmation of Robert Sturgill as FAA administrator. Now, a seemingly routine NATCA press release slamming the FAA for adding responsibilities to controllers working the tower at Wisconsin's Mitchell International Airport near Milwaukee has brought pressure on the FAA from Wisconsin's congressional delegation and a letter from Senators Herb Kohl and Russ Feingold. In order to accommodate expansion at O'Hare International in Chicago, the FAA shifted responsibility for watching over a sector of airspace near Green Bay to the tower staff at Mitchell. That took effect early this morning. NATCA says that facility is already understaffed at 41 controllers. The FAA says the normal staffing level there is 37 to 45 and will be at 53 within a few months. An additional sore point in the region is a proposed ground radar facility in Green Bay, which controllers say is needed to improve their efficiency. The FAA says it's still looking for suitable land on which to build that radar. Still ahead, the U.S. Air Force and an MIT professor share an environmental award. The T-45 Goshawk celebrates its 15th anniversary. And it seems that bear that buzzed the Nimitz was just engaged in interpretive dance. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Valentine's Day, Thursday, February 14th, 2008. I'm Paul Platt. The FAA announced on Tuesday the agency will present its 2007 Excellence in Aviation Research Awards to Professor Ian A. Waits, a Ph.D. at MIT, and the United States Air Force B-52 Aircraft Fischer-Tropsch Fuels Research Team. Dan Elwell, FAA's Assistant Administrator for Policy, Planning, and Environment, commented, quote, "Aviation needs to continue to get greener, and this award goes to people who are making it happen. Dr. Waits and the Air Force team are taking the steps to put a big dent in aviation's environmental footprint. Their work is going to make a difference across the face of our entire planet," unquote. Waits is the MIT Jerome C. Hunsaker Professor of Aeronautics and Astronautics and has just been named head of that department. He's a noted writer on the topic of aviation's environmental impact, and his research has served to help quantify the impacts of both chemical and noise emissions from aircraft. The U.S. Air Force's B-52 Aircraft FT Fuels Research Team made history by becoming the first in the Air Force to certify a synthetic fuel blend for its B-52 fleet. The Fischer-Tropsch process was used by Germany during World War II to supply its military with fuels when the Allies successfully cut off petroleum-based supplies. The process can, in theory, yield usable liquid fuels from many hydrocarbon materials, including coal and natural gas. Air Force tests of a blend of FT with petroleum-based jet fuel has shown reduced exhaust smoke and particulate emissions. This week, Boeing is celebrating a milestone for the T-45 Goshawk, the U.S. Navy's jet trainer, which this week flew its 800,000th hour in its 15th year of service with the Naval Air Training Command. The twin-seat, single-engine Goshawk prepares student aviators to transition to frontline Navy and Marine Corps fleet aircraft. Captain Charles Wynn Everett, the T-45 program manager for the Navy, says, "No one is born an aviator. Quote, Training in the T-45 is one of the most important steps a future Navy pilot takes. It's a major accomplishment to rack up 800,000 flight hours, but there will be many more such milestones because this airplane will be around for a long, long time, unquote. Barbara Wilson, Director and Program Manager for T-45 Training Systems at Boeing, added, quote, "This is a proud day for our 350-member team. We consider it an honor to support Naval Air Training, one of the Navy's most critical missions, and will continue to refine an aircraft that has proven itself reliable, economical, and maintainable over its 15 years of service," unquote. More than 3,000 student aviators from the Navy, Marine Corps, and several international militaries have received instruction in the Goshawk at Naval Air Stations in Meridian, Mississippi, and Kingsville, Texas. Testimony to Congress by the Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff about a Russian bomber buzzing the USS Nimitz in the Western Pacific last Saturday made it sound like the Cold War was making a comeback. Now, the Chief of Naval Operations has downplayed the significance of the encounter with the Tu-95 Bear, spinning it as just another day at the floating office. Navy Admiral Gary Ruffhead told Pentagon reporters on Tuesday, quote, "I did not consider it to be provocative. We knew they were coming. We saw them coming. We detected them at the appropriate time. We launched our alert aircraft, who escorted the Russian aircraft. From my perspective, everything worked exactly as we are trained to do and as we expect our people and our commanders to perform," unquote. Ruffhead, who trained to fight the Soviet Navy as a young officer, said he sees the event as a signal that the Russian Navy is trying to emerge as a global entity. Quote, "My sense is that they're stretching their wings, so to speak," unquote. Navy Admiral Michael G. Mullen, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, added, quote, "It is free and international airspace, and we're just trying to now go back and look what message was intended by this overflight," unquote. Sounds a little like the conversation you'd have with your girlfriend at an art exhibit, only way more expensive. And finally, if you're fighting the NIMBYs to save your local airport, or heaven forbid, extend a runway to accommodate business jets, don't let your neighbors get hold of a copy of the Wednesday Washington Post. The paper quotes a Health Day news report that says aircraft noise can increase your blood pressure while you're sleeping, even if it's not loud enough to wake you up. A report in the February issue of the European Heart Journal cited a study of 140 people living near London Heathrow Airport, which found noise louder than 35 decibels raised blood pressure an average of 6.2 over 7.4, and it got worse as the noise got louder. Dr. Harlan M. Krumholtz, who's a professor of medicine at the Yale University School of Medicine, cautioned that more study is needed before concluding that there's a direct health risk resulting from that elevated blood pressure. And what I want to know is, can you get used to it? I talked once to a guy who lived two blocks from Niagara Falls, and he said he got so used to the constant noise, he felt stressed and couldn't sleep when he visited quiet places away from home. He told me that putting a couple pairs of sneakers in the clothes dryer to make some noise helped him sleep after I asked him how he adjusted to places that didn't have any noise. Well, actually, first he said, "What?" about six times. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Brad Whitsitt, president of X-Wind LLC. Brad has spent 5 years developing a full-motion simulator designed specifically for teaching pilots of single-engine tricycle-gear planes to deal safely with crosswinds during landing. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.